much to press. Freedom, freedom, I can't move. Freedom, cut me loose. Yeah. Freedom, freedom, where are you? Cause I need freedom too. I break chains about myself. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we are taking a look at 125 years of the Afro-American newspapers. My guests are Jake Oliver, publisher and chairman of the board for the Afro-American newspaper, and Edgar Brookins, managing editor. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Before I go back to the phone lines, I want to talk a little bit more about the gala. You talked about the honorees. Go right ahead, Jake, please.
Margot Lee Shetterly is the keynote speaker and the first honoree. And then we have Joyce Scott, who's the recipient of the MacArthur Genius Grant. She's an artist and has national reputation. And then last, we have Jess Ballou, who is the first black president of the National Press Club. We think that those three individuals, we're proud to recognize their achievement. And we think that their accomplishments reflect what we think the importance of being 125 years old and providing the black community with the necessary news information that is important for them to continue the fight for their progress.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Ms. D, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Ms. D, are you there?
Yes, hello.
Hi, go right ahead, please.
I would like to state the fact that I'm very proud of this newspaper, and everything that they're doing is towards a positive, not a negative, because it's so much negativity going on to bring down the positive acts of the black people. And then you have people who act like they're for it, but they're really against it. And that's like when you turn your back, there's a knife in it. And It's enough of that. We've come a long way to get where we're at, and we're still being held back. And we need positive feedback, because achievement is achievement. You can't take that from anyone, just as well as the O.J. situation. He served his time, okay? And I did not see not one black person on that parole board, which would have been a little bit fair. But you still have the white law versus the black law. And I'm telling you right now, it's still going to be unjust and just us. And that's all I have to say.
Well, thank you so much, Ms. D. I appreciate it. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Charles calling from Northeast D.C. What's on your mind?
Hi, my name is Charles. I'm sitting here trying to figure out, like, when the police shoot all these people for, like, a cigarette, make them lay down on the ground or whatever, kill people for no reason, they get away with it. O.J. said he had killed two people, but look what they did. They held people from trees and all that kind of foolishness. Maybe I'm making a wrong comment or a statement, but I'm just saying, just like the white lady shot that the black guy with his daughter in the car. Nobody said nothing. They let these people go, you know? So why can we... why can O.J. can't be free?
Suffice it to say, this is O.J.'s day, and he is he's eligible for parole on October 1st, and he has served his sentence. And so we will, barring anything untoward, we will see him on the 1st. But, Charles, thank you so much for giving us a call. To Charles's point, one of the points that Charles makes, a lot of... you know, our black people, let me just put it out there. It seems to me black folks are real relevant now when it comes to, you know, news. Yeah. And I say that tongue in cheek, because we saw so many positive changes during the 90s, but we also saw some difficult times, not just OJ. We saw Oprah. But we also saw Rodney King. We also saw the rise of black political power in this country. But
I would argue, and I want you both to react to this, and, you know, Edgar, I'll ask you first. Do you think that the coverage of the African-American community is more relevant now under a Trump administration than a Barack Obama administration?
Well, I think the relevancy of it is still very important because we're under the current administration, the Trump administration, because of all of the various kinds of policy changes, if you are rolling back everything that President Obama had put in place. So therefore, there's a greater emphasis of focus on those things that do affect us and are affecting us. But I think we've always tried to always give relevancy to our community for who we are, what we do, what we achieve. And so I think our focus has always been there and continues to be there. Now, how we may present it has changed from pure print to the social media or technology, digital stuff, which gives us a great opportunity to reach a larger, much larger audience. But the relevancy of it has stayed the same. And in fact, we try to intensify where possible to make sure our story is told. And as the lady said, there are lots of good, positive things that we do tell that no one else will focus on.
Mm-hmm. Well, your thoughts about that, Jake? About, you know, how are we more relevant? Has the paper become even more relevant because there are policies under this administration and the current political climate that impact African Americans more than perhaps under President Obama's administration?
Absolutely. My personal opinion is that the policy changes that we've seen so far, the first 6 months, there are very few of them that have not had a negative impact or a negative threatened impact on the African-American community, as well as other minority communities, as well as economically those who are just poor. I think that highlights the importance of the Afro to inform our readers of the pending impact and what his particular moves are, and to also, as best we can, compare and get them to understand why he or what he's attempting to undo is really undoing things that President Obama had put in place to benefit the deprived, the underprivileged groups that make up a larger segment of this country. He's taking us back. We want to make sure that in the process, everyone understands what he's doing to us for purposes of us raising our voice and eventually someone, the important groups, the important leaders who control the country will begin to hear us. It's happened before. It's just we find that under Woodrow Wilson, we ended up doing the same thing.
Interesting. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Shirley, calling from Hollywood. Is that Hollywood, Maryland or Hollywood, California?
Hollywood, Maryland.
Okay, go right ahead, Shirley. What's on your mind?
Yes, I would like to ask him, can you subscribe to your paper?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. You can go to our website, afro.com, and on that website, it'll tell you and gives you all the information, types of subscriptions, et cetera, and so forth. Or if you choose to do so, you can call the D.C. office at 202-332-0080. We have a large subscription base, so we encourage you to subscribe to the Afro.
I would love to. Thank you very much.
Shirley, thank you so much. I appreciate your phone call. 125 years is a long time. How has the Afro survived when so many of your contemporaries have not? And we've also seen outside of print, you know, there is no more BET News, for example. And, you know, we don't have, you know, with the exception of Roland Martin's program, we don't have a lot of broadcast outlets. I mean, obviously we have this one and which, you know, I've loved dearly since, and that's, you know, and that's not a joke. I mean, I've been listening to the program that I now host since it began more than 40 years ago. But how is it that the Afro has survived?
We have not hesitated to recognize that this world is an ever-changing instrument. And we have experimented and not hesitate, don't hesitate to experiment with ways in which we believe we can more effectively connect with not only our community, but other communities as well, to tell our story, but also to provide them the service of describing the challenges that we as African Americans have endured over the last century and a half. We have experimented with, particularly with the advent of the internet first, and then because we were the first black newspaper to have a news site. We've had an internet, we've had a website since 1994, mm-hmm. And that's been a full-time website with where we've been posting news. And then we started to experiment with other formats, namely social media. And we're the biggest.
You have to keep up.
You got to keep up, but you also have to understand that with the ever-changing habits of ever-changing technology, the habits of the way people absorb the news is going to evolve. And sometimes it evolves at a startling pace. Example, 2006, 2007, when social media really started to catch hold, and 2007 and 2008, when the Obama campaign started to really give you examples of how people can communicate effectively. And then from that point on, it exploded. We took that as an opportunity to realize that we just can't put something in print. We've got to reach out to these folks who are now beginning to grasp the tools and to begin to use the tools to communicate with each other and to tell news. But they still needed us to tell the news, the real news. So we started to push a lot of our efforts into understanding how to use social media. Mm-hmm. As a result is that right now we have roughly about 686,000 followers just on Facebook alone, and that's growing. We really want to be able to understand how people are using the new tools, the smartphones. And we also want to educate because we don't know it all. Mm-hmm. One of the major interesting things about the that we've learned is that it's not just as we do mostly in print. You print it and then you walk away and they respond either by letter to the editor. But when you post a story, people comment. Mm-hmm. And that helps you to understand not only what they think, but also you get a very clear sense of the segmentation of our community. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful education to watch people talk to each other, to debate, to agree and to disagree. And we learn from that. It helps us tee up the stories better. We don't change the facts, but we know the types of stories that people are looking for, and we know the types of stories or individuals or subject matters that people are not interested in. Mm-hmm. So we don't waste our time.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to James calling from Nashville, Tennessee, and Alfonso calling from Hyattsville. Lines are open. We'll be back in just a moment. We're talking about 125 years of the Afro-American newspapers. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue the discussion about 125 years of the Afro-American newspapers. I want to go back to the phone lines. Let's talk to James calling from Nashville. James, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Mr. Fisher, thank you for accepting my call.
Sure thing.
Mr. Oliver, it's a pleasure to talk to you, sir. I work for a African-American news publication, the Tennessee Tribune, publisher Rosetta Perry.
Rosetta, yes, I know.
And I love the topic. Mm-hmm. What comes to mind is several things. Number one, African-American newspapers have been around for 125 years. Based on the support that the African-American publications receive, it makes me wonder, where will we be 125 years from now? Or 25 to 50 years from now. I find it that there were a lot more papers, say, 50, 100 years ago, yes, than it is today. Mm-hmm. And I was just wondering your thoughts on that. And also, if you could comment as far as how do you see the church supporting African-American news publications? Because no one's going to tell our story like we can tell our story. Mm-hmm. And I think that the two should go hand in hand, along with disseminating the information about us to us in the world at hand.
Go ahead,
so,
sir.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
I'm a former native of Nashville myself, okay, a graduate of Fisk University. But it's
I won't hold that against you. I'm a Morganite, but that's all right. So,
but the biggest challenge is that our community is evolving. The integration with other ethnicities and the impediments that segregation sort of kept us sort of pure, but now all that is changing, and that also impacts the culture. And 50 years from now, the things that we sort of are hesitant about or are more sensitive about will not be as important as they are today. But our role is to make sure that none of this impacts our ability to remember where we come from. And remember what can happen when you are confronted with populations of people who do not respect your culture and who are interested more so in depriving you of your rights in order to protect theirs. Mm-hmm. That's our concern. That will continue to be our objective. I'm 72 years old today, and it's really a task for me to try and keep up with all the understandings that the younger generation are accepting. TV today is nothing compared to what it was back in the 50s and the 60s, mm-hmm, when I was growing up. Sometimes I find myself cringing, but I also have to step back and say, that's progress. Mm-hmm. That's the price of progress. And just because I may not understand it doesn't mean that it's wrong.
Okay. James, thank you so much for your phone call. Let's go to Alfonso calling from Hyattsville. What's on your mind?
Yes, I'd like to talk about the O.J. Simpson situation. I'm glad he got out of jail. He deserves to get out for what, you know, situation is. That's all I had to say, sir.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you had a chance to speak your piece. Edgar, what has been, in this almost three decades now that you've been at the Afro, what has been the most difficult or most interesting story that you have covered, the one that sticks with you today and probably will forever?
Well, I wouldn't use the word difficulty. The one that sticks in my mind is really the O.J. original trial.
Hmm. Okay.
From a business standpoint, it was a boom because the papers sold like you wouldn't believe. Mm-hmm. And then some. The next big event from that perspective was the election of Barack Obama as president of the United States. Mm-hmm. Now, those were two biggies, and they were not difficult to cover, but it requires to look at how best to present the story to our community, how best to portray it, because we knew other folks were reading or looking at what we were presenting also, not just our community. So that's always in the back of your mind, but you want to present the balanced, the collective information, the facts as they are, yet allow our community also to, as Mr. Office said, give us feedback. Tell us what we're doing that you lack or do not lack, and we'll see if we can modify or change. But sticking to the age-old legacy of the Afro to tell the story, as has the Black Press done over these many years, to tell our story because we can tell it best, but at the same time reflect the realities of our communities.
And you know, which, you know, brings us, you know, to a point. I would dare say that, you know, the Afro-American is really a piece of what all Black journalists, even those in mainstream, you know, have to address. And this goes back to criticism, not just of our leaders, but even of our own communities. How do you deal with the realities of stereotypes in coverage? Because, you know, we can sit around and we can, hold up the mirror and look at ourselves, mm-hmm. and see violence in the Black community. Mm. And, you know, you have to cover it. But if you look at, if Black folks look at mainstream, then, you know, and that saying, it always starts off, why y'all always, yeah. Why y'all always cover Black folks like this? But then you get in a Black newsroom like the Afro-American and you still got to cover those issues. Do you struggle with those same kinds of things?
Yes, very much so. I hate the violence, but we have to report it because it's part of our community. It's part of our makeup. Indeed, you want to know what's happening next block, even though it may be ugly, for your own personal safety, if that's necessary. But I tell you, particularly as a result of the social media and the internet, over a course of 7 days, I literally get sick of posting how many stories we post that really are about the violence of the police against Black people, and specifically Black men. But also, it really, really makes me very angry when you see some of the violence that we have to report on against our own selves. And not only just man against man, but, men against kids and mothers against children. It really, you step back and you have to ask, do you really want to report that? And he says, Jake, that's part of what's going on, and people need to know what's going on. So for purposes of response, because when you post it, particularly on social media, you get the response. And to a certain extent, that's where the graphic, because they see it right away, and they have an opinion, and they are just as offended by it as everyone else, even more so. Even more so because it's us, and we know that we're going to be judged generally because of what that individual did in that one instance.
Yeah, I mean, and I think it's, I do think it's, you know, fascinating when, like you said, we have on one hand this humongous issue, not story, but issue about police violence, deadly violence against specifically Black men and more generally Black people. Mm-hmm. And then you have, you know, Black on Black crime. And then you get the subtleties on social media where they say, well, why are we calling it Black on Black crime? And, you know, and that debate just becomes so difficult. And I would argue that the difference for the Afro-American, even for, you know, WHUR, you know, the Howard University Network, compared to mainstream, is that we do attempt to offer solutions in context, mm-hmm. as well as just the story. Mm-hmm. You know, so what, you know, but, you know, overall, and I only have a few more minutes left. What do you think? And I'll ask you this, Edgar, because you have seen a lot with your, you know, boots on the ground, what do you think is the future of the Afro specifically and more generally covering the African-American community?
Well, I think the Afro future is bright. It's positive. We have a good leadership. We have a strong team in place. And they work collectively as a team. So we can, again, touch those parts of the community where the action is taking place, be it good or bad, but always kind of bring the good stuff to the top of the ladder. We don't ever even want to leave it in that negative, downtrodden, we're doing it to ourselves. Yes, we do, but we know that's all a positive story. We know that there are some young, aspiring journalists out there who are looking at what you're doing, Harold, what we're doing, and that's going to lead them in a direction of positiveness and become great journalists one day. And so we know what our responsibilities are. From 1892 to 2017, we've done it, continue to do it. The leadership is there. The mission is clear. The legacy, the one thing that kept me and brought me into the Afro was Mrs. Frances Murphy. Mm-hmm. When she brought me on board, and when I said to her, I don't know the business of newspaper operating, she said, don't worry about that, Mr. Brookin. You'll learn that.
Mm-hmm.
But I want you to bring your planning, your leadership, your management skills to the table. You'll learn the mechanics. And so she has always been my inspiration, even today. And that legacy with the Murphy family, that generational thing has been there, continues to be there. That continuity is there and it's in place. So we continue to move forward.
I would like to offer, and I'm sure you already have this down, but for maybe for the anniversary edition, the headline should say "Still Here."
So, yes.
And if I see it, I want to buy one.
Yeah.
I want to thank both of you. Jake, it's so good to see you. You know, 72 years young. Happy birthday! Congratulations! And like you said, you still got your hair. Looks good. That's always important. Edgar, always a pleasure to have you here. And congratulations on 27 years and then some. So stay with it. And don't forget for those of you who are interested in finding out more about the Afro, you can find it online, afro.com. And certainly the gala coming up in August, you can find out information about that as well, afro125.com. That's afro125.com. Again, gents, thank you so much and congratulations.
Thank you for having us.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Thursday, July 20th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can follow me on Twitter at HFisherWHUR or Daily Drum WHUR. Now, stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night. Brother, we can't quit until we get our share.